Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to end this week talking a little bit about gun control. The past week or so has seen yet another mass shooting.
A week ago on a Sunday.
Yep, it was a mass shooting at a church
in Texas.
Mm-hmm. 26 people killed. And so, and I'm not sure how many were injured, but we're gonna talk a little bit again about this. And this is from a great blog entitled "What Does Science Teach Us About Gun Control?" I'm not gonna pronounce Alice's name.
Lo Cicero.
Did I say it right? Lo Cicero.
You got it.
And so we're gonna talk about this because it's really. I think I like the way that she broke it down. I like the way that we kind of not even look at it from a necessarily a politics, political.
It's apolitical
perspective, but just look at what we know about gun control and violent behaviors and things like that.
I was struck by this title the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, wow, this is. Mm-hmm. Let's see what science. Yeah. So let's see, what do we know about this topic? Because there's frightfully little information available.
Right.
But that's an excellent way to approach this topic. Not as a hysteric, not as, you know, from a political perspective or a moral perspective. It's let's just see about this gun issue. Okay.
Right.
Everybody's asking, first of all, because we've had, I think we have 301 mass shootings per year in the United States.
Right.
Okay. It's like 4 to 20 times more than any other developed nation.
Right.
But we have over 300. Now, we hear about the most horrific.
Right.
The church shooting last week. Mm-hmm. The Las Vegas shooting a few weeks before that. And we could go on and on and on about these shootings. But there's something about guns and our culture and something. There's some relationship. So how do you find out? Well, one way is to do some research and find out. That's how we found out about cigarettes. And she mentions that in the article, is that how did we finally find out that there is a link between cigarette smoking and heart and lung diseases?
Right.
So I love the approach.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely perfect. It's the absolute right approach to take if you want to know what the relationship is, or if there is a relationship.
Right. Yeah, so we're not going to get into the political side of it.
Right.
Because that's, to us as scientists, that the political side is,
that's somebody else's.
That's for policy.
Right.
We're not dealing with policy. We're dealing with, okay, what does the science really tell us? What do we know about this issue?
That's right. We're not recommending policy.
Right.
We're simply saying, what do we know?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so we're going to start with the, as you were already saying, the idea that, or the sad fact that there are hundreds of mass shootings each year.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. And we're on track. So we hear about the most horrific. We hear about the biggest. And it seems as though each one is more horrific and is bigger than the last.
A larger body count with each one.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to, again, sort of start from that premise and start from that idea and then sort of start narrowing down some of the things that the research says.
Right.
So the first thing that she references in here is she says, early research is summarized briefly in a 2013 Psychology Today article by Professor Brad Bushman, which is a great article that, you know, definitely click on that link and check out that article. It is a little bit older, from early 2013, but she pulls from that article here.
Right. Yeah. And just before that, she says, there are 300 million firearms in it that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
and that's about how many people there are.
Right.
So 300 million, that means there's one gun for each person.
Right.
But then she goes on to say that half of those are owned by 3% of the population.
Right.
So these are gun collectors, right, obviously, and multiple gun users. We don't know many people who have guns because there's no way to track them. But there's an indication right there,
right,
that's useful information to have. Okay.
Right.
Then she goes on.
Well, you got to think about, and again, because we're trying to not politicize this, there are those who collect guns because they are collectors, because it's right, just like stamps. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just these are fascinating machines.
Right.
And to look at the evolution of these machines over time is mm-hmm, impressive. There are those who collect because they like to do sport shooting, and because they enjoy the feel and the sound and the smell and the overall effect of shooting at a gun range, mm-hmm, and seeing what these things do. And then there are those who collect because they are anxious, they are paranoid, mm-hmm, they're nervous about their own safety, and so they collect, right, guns and they store them away because one day they may not be able to have them. And so along this spectrum of collectors, we have those who do so for, mm-hmm, enjoyment as a hobby, to right, those who are doing so for there's another motivation. Mm-hmm. There's another type of drive for those, right, kind of collecting.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
and we're not necessarily casting judgment on any of those,
mm-hmm,
but it's just important to know that people collect for different reasons.
You know, coming from two boys, these two boys.
I am not a boy. I'm a man.
You're a boy. I have to confess, my father was a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He came from a family of hunters. And we had guns in our house, hanging in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
My brother built a gun rack, and yep, we had four rifles hanging in the bedroom. My father was diligent about teaching us gun, right, safety, mm-hmm, and fear and respect. We didn't,
right,
we respected them.
Right.
The ammunition was locked,
right,
in another cabinet. The guns were out.
Right.
We were told every gun is loaded.
Right.
You know, there was no such thing, right, as they were. But I have to tell you that as a young boy, I can remember holding those for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They're heavy. And you stand there as a young boy. This piece of equipment is meant to kill things.
Right.
And I have to say, that's what goes through your mind.
Yeah.
I can kill stuff with this.
Right. I remember the first... I was telling...
It's almost a... It is arousing.
Right.
For a young boy.
I remember I was talking to somebody about it the other day. I remember the first time I shot a 12-gauge shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very... engaging feeling. It's a rush that you get, and so none of that. We're not attempting to downplay any of that whatsoever.
Right.
You know, that is a part of our culture. That is a part of our biology.
Right.
To many extents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important that we recognize that.
Did you ever hold a pistol?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you did black powder stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you hold a pistol, it's so heavy, you know, especially, mm-hmm, for a young boy, and you think, there's just something almost mystical,
right,
about these weapons.
Yeah.
Now, in our hands, because, mm-hmm, we fell into that normal curve,
mm-hmm,
we felt it, but we also could rein it in.
Right.
Put that into the hands of somebody,
right,
who has impulse control, mm-hmm, depression, anxiety, and it starts to arouse those, mm-hmm, urges,
right,
and you can see how quickly you move toward mm-hmm, some other kinds of behaviors. So there is something about these.
Yeah.
Plus, they're elegant pieces of equipment.
Right.
They work really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
They're elegantly designed.
Yeah.
They're enormously efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You can put them in water and mud, and they still work, and they, mm-hmm, work with such precision.
Right.
You know? So, at so many levels, they have this appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can see why people collect them.
Right. It's fascinating to stand in one place, to aim and shoot at something 50 yards away, and then almost instantaneously, as soon as you pull the trigger, you can see the effects.
Talk about control.
It's remarkable.
Okay, so there is this appeal, mm-hmm. and we understand that appeal.
Right.
Okay, but then there are these other right. effects. Right. And the first article that she mentions was back in 2013, right?
Yeah, and they talk about the, well, there's a number of things that are talked about from the 2013 and then right. also from a follow-up study done much more recently, mm-hmm. and that is the just images of weapons, of guns,
right.
they found in these studies to significantly increase the, what they call the accessibility or the propensity of aggressive
or
thoughts.
Aggression. That's right. When we were talking about holding these weapons. When you hold one of these weapons, mm-hmm. it increases aggressive thinking.
Right.
It's bound to, that's what it's meant to do.
Right.
It is meant to kill things. And just to be in the mere presence, mm-hmm. but especially to hold it in your hands and feel mm-hmm. the weight, the heft.
Right.
And if you manipulate
the sound.
The sound mm-hmm. and the smell, you know, there's mm-hmm. the smell yeah. to gun mm-hmm. grease. It produces feelings of aggression.
Right.
So one of the things that science has told us about this is that if you have a gun in your hand, you are more likely to think aggressive thoughts.
Right.
It just
right.
happens.
Right. Okay? And it's not just guns.
No.
The same type of thing would happen if you were holding a hunting knife or, you know, if you were holding a bow and arrow.
An axe.
Those same kinds of things. I can do some damage with these.
This is meant to cut things.
Right.
This axe is meant to cut limbs off trees.
Right.
It's an aggressive act.
Right. Okay?
So the implement produces right. Feelings of aggression.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a really important... that's a really important finding from
that's
this
right.
research
right.
that can't and shouldn't be ignored,
right?
Because it's consistent. Mm-hmm.
It's useful information to know,
right?
Okay,
all right.
And then a year later,
yeah, go ahead. Andrew Engelmeyer.
Is it Engelmeyer? Yes,
I don't know.
Engelmeyer
from mm-hmm. University of California.
Right.
All right. They did a meta-analysis. So they mm-hmm. looked at a whole bunch of different, right. like 16 different studies. And they, quote, found strong evidence for increased odds of suicide among persons with access to firearms compared to those without access.
That's right. Especially higher rates of suicide. There mm-hmm. are also higher rates of homicide, he found
right.
later.
Yeah, moderate.
But there are higher rates of suicide mm-hmm. among people who have access to guns.
Right.
Particularly males.
Right.
Males are much more successful.
Right.
Because they tend at killing themselves
right.
because they tend to use guns
right.
and guns are right. very effective.
Right. There are reports to suggest that the prevalence of suicidal ideation is at least equal, if not a little bit higher actually in females,
right.
but the rate of
the
completed
right.
suicide is actually higher in men and males because they tend to be more more aggressive, more lethal,
right.
And they're chosen. And this is especially true with those who have access to firearms.
And if you have access, and that gun is in the drawer,
right.
and you've handled it, and you've played with it, and you know how,
right.
if you tend to be aggressive, and you can be aggressive against yourself,
right.
against others, or against property.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So some people shoot holes in windows and walls, some people shoot others, and some people shoot themselves.
Right.
Okay. But so we know that there is increased risk of suicide if you have access to handguns.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in 2017, mm-hmm. there was a Scientific American article that discussed 30 studies.
Right.
30 studies that, by and large, showed that more guns actually make us less safe.
Right.
Not more safe.
Right.
Actually make us less safe. And so there were these 30 mm-hmm. articles that, you know, somewhat consistently, mm-hmm. Again, by and large, showed that more guns make us less safe. Kind of counterintuitive or counter to what is sort of held up in popular media or popular discussion, that, well, if there's more guns, we're going to be safe because President Trump said this recently, well, the reason that it wasn't worse is because there was a gun aimed the other way.
And he was referring to the church shooting.
Church shooting, mm-hmm. recent one.
And years ago, some people in law enforcement tend to repeat this, the best way to handle a bad guy with a gun mm-hmm. is to have a good guy with a gun.
Right.
Okay. And there's this idea, and it is it is intuitively appealing.
Right.
That more people should have guns because everybody will be safer. And we think of things like the Virginia Tech shooting mm-hmm. where he was able to right. move about the building because nobody had a gun to shoot him.
Right.
He had the only weapon. And so there is this belief that we will all be safer if we have guns. And you and I shudder, we've talked about this, to think that some one or more teachers in right. a school building will have a handgun in right. a purse or a pocket. Because that was one of the suggestions made, is that right. we should arm teachers.
Yeah, there was a large discussion, especially after Sandy Hook, right?
After Sandy Hook.
That they were right. saying that we should start allowing teachers and school staff members to carry on campus. And
right. Because if one of the teachers in an elementary school had access to a handgun, mm-hmm. They could have stopped. They presumably could have stopped him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it was... Well, there's so many things to say about it. You get flooded with thoughts. Because it's... And again, especially when you don't want to politicize it.
Right.
But because this is the area where politics really comes into play.
Right.
Because when we talk about gun control from a politics policy perspective... Mm-hmm. Because, of course, there are those who say, well, you got to be safe, and not just safe from other shooters, but I think that there was a statement by someone who said, well, we want them to carry guns because, well, what if a bear comes on campus? Or what if this happens on campus? We want somebody to have a gun to protect. And again, it is a very appealing and maybe even intuitive idea to say that if more people had a gun, then it would be safer. But there's two pieces to it. First is the research, by and large, you know, not all right. the research supports this idea, but the majority say more guns equals less safe.
Right.
The other thing is that, and if we think about this sort of from, we have a history. Mm-hmm. We have a period of time that we can look back at to say, well, what is it like? What was it like when more people had guns?
What is it like if everybody can wear a gun?
Right. And that was the Wild West.
That was the Wild West.
And that wasn't a very safe time for people.
A lot of people were killed by handguns.
Right. And mm-hmm. so to say that, well, if just more people had guns, we would be safer, been there, tried it, didn't really...
There was a reason why we did away with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it just wasn't safe.
Right.
So the research, generally speaking, says, kind of guides us in this direction that fewer guns is probably safer, that those with guns are tending to be more aggressive or right. more likely to harm others or more likely to harm themselves mm-hmm. Than those who don't have access right. to guns.
And higher rates of suicide and homicide right. if you have access to guns.
Right.
Now, two other points. One is that we saw the same... We know there are people who I want to use the word poo-poo. They criticize...
Disregard.
Science.
Right.
They say, oh, well, those are...
Oh, I see what you mean. Know, yeah.
You can prove anything you want with statistics mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff. But we had the same argument with cigarettes. You know, mm-hmm. there was a debate in the 50s and 60s that, well, there's no proof that cigarettes are related. But the only way to get that evidence was to do research.
Right.
You have to do certain kinds of research. And this is the kind of research that mm-hmm. she's reporting here.
Right.
But there's a second point to be made. And it's at the bottom of the next to the last paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the science linking the presence of guns and increased violence could benefit from research by the Centers for Disease Control. That's
right.
what we rely on in right. our country to discuss the relationship between the causes right. of morbidity and mortality.
Right.
Okay. But that would require a change in the law, because by current law, the CDC is specifically forbidden by law, a law that totally defies common sense and thumbs its nose at science, to study gun violence. That I did not know.
Yeah.
that the CDC is prohibited by law from studying gun violence.
Right. And that's from at least 2000, since at least 2015.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because that she has a link there that is from a 2015 article that talks about that.
And again, we don't want to talk about politics, right. And we don't want to talk about policy, mm-hmm. But
it's the same. It's the same argument with marijuana, with all of these things that we want, that we are engaged in a heavy discussion about, and we use the argument that says, well, there's no research to support that. There's no research that says this, or there's no research that says that. Well, there's not, because the way that policy is written right now, we can't do that research.
That's right. We weren't allowed to study marijuana.
Right.
We have this marijuana problem since the 20s. Mm-hmm. What is the drug and how right. should we deal with it? And it gets more complicated and more acute every year.
Right.
But we weren't allowed to study it.
Right.
We weren't allowed to buy the stuff to study right. it in laboratories, which is, we had to rely on studies from Israel and other countries
right.
where they did do the
it's
little research.
It's easier to do research on heroin and cocaine and ecstasy and opioids than it is to do research on marijuana. Right. Yeah. And I don't think anyone would say that those are comparable, that marijuana is the same as heroin. Nobody would say that.
Every time I realize... And you tend to forget. Every time I realize that marijuana is classed above heroin.
Right.
They're all classed above alcohol.
Right. You know,
which is the biggest problem. But marijuana is classed, it's more considered by the government, considered more dangerous than right. heroin and opioids.
Yeah. So, we have to, at some point, we have to talk about these policy issues. This isn't the podcast to do that, not today.
No.
But at some point, we need to talk about this because... You just have to.
There is research out there that helps us to make decisions mm-hmm. about guns.
Right.
We're not advocating gun control. We're not advocating anything. We're just saying that there is research, and if we're going to make intelligent decisions, I think everybody agrees that we need to do something
right.
about these shooters.
Yeah.
The other point she makes at the beginning, and you and I have talked about this before, is that this isn't about mental illness.
Right.
But she does make the point that it's not mental illness in Axis 1,
right?
But it could be mental illness in Axis 2.
Right.
And she talks about antisocial personality disorder yeah. and narcissistic right. personality disorder. So it may be characterological flaws
right.
that are related to these. But again, without research, without doing the research, how will we ever be able to decide?
Right, exactly. So we got to do more. In that area, we got to think about it more. We got to do more research, and so
we have to do something about these yeah. shootings, about the fear that's instilled in people.
Right.
We talked about anxiety in teenagers, mm-hmm. and one of the things they worry about is being going to church and being killed,
absolutely.
Going to school and being killed,
right?
Going to football games and being shot.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. It is a cause for. It's one of the possible causes. Of increased anxiety and depression right. in teenagers.
Yeah.
They feel very vulnerable.
Right.
As they should. I mean, 301 yeah. a year.
Yeah.
One a day.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That's it. Well, we have a couple of our other articles that we're putting together to do a longer podcast on this topic. But
you know, we're now going to talk about get in touch with us.
Yeah.
This is we've never talked about this topic before. On any of our podcasts.
Not in a lot of detail.
Not in this.
We did
this
one
direct.
Recently about gun violence, but...
Right. Yeah. We'd love to hear your thoughts
yeah.
about this. And it's part of a larger effort to get you more involved.
Right.
We would like to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have our new artwork, show art and music and all that kind of stuff. Dolling it up a little bit. Making it more... making it more professional, more engaging, but also, you know, to help get your support, because we want to be able mm-hmm. to do more of this. We want to be able right. to talk more. We want to be able to provide you more. We want to mm-hmm. be able to offer more videos and workshops and you know, strategies, and just kind of bring all of this stuff to you so that you can use it today. But that's going to require right. a little bit of help. Just so that we can have time to do it.
Right.
So we'll be announcing the launch of our Patreon page pretty soon. We're hoping that by the time this podcast is airing, mm-hmm. that we will be able to have that up and running.
Right.
And that will be, it'll be patreon.com/ the mental breakdown.
Right.
And once it's launched, we will have a link to it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But until then, you can support us by liking us and following us and subscribing to us on iTunes and Google Play Music and YouTube.
Google Play Music. I always forget that.
Yeah. Right? Follow us on our website or on Facebook. There's lots of different ways that you can mm-hmm. get access to this and see what we're talking about, what topics are really important for us to be mm-hmm. talking about. And you can communicate with us and share with us what you want us to talk about.
Right.
So like us and follow us and subscribe to us. And if you listen to us on iTunes, write a review, rate us. Any of those things increases our visibility in iTunes so that other people can find us and take part. So, all right. The more of us that are talking about it, the more that we can do. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.